everyone, and welcome to the Snap UK podcast for the second in our comeback shows. This week, we will be discussing all of the news, which is mainly one item. So, we will apologise in advance for Paul not being here. He did actually tell me to apologise and told me I must continue to take the mick out of John for putting on weight during lockdown. So, John, that is what... I don't know. That's what he told me.
Bit harsh.
Really? Well,
a little bit harsh.
I haven't seen Paul. Is he still gymming it up?
No, because there's no gyms. But
oh, I mean, at home, is he still doing his exercise?
Yeah, he's got. Yeah, he even bought an exercise bike.
Did he? When you're at home with the wife all the time, you can't do any secret eating, can you?
No. Well, I don't know. Don't have that problem.
Probably could.
There's a lot of people shaking their heads, saying no, we can't do any secret eating. Despite the fact, as you've told me, Golden Arches is now available everywhere without kids. Perhaps they'll sponsor us if we keep dropping that in.
I think I pass about 8 on my journey now.
I don't know. You pass 8 and pull into how many?
7.
I don't think I've ever done a double stop.
That sounds dodgy. I've definitely done a few double stops. Right. There's only one place to start in the news this week. So... who wants to run with the Cam Newton signed for the Patriots story? Anyone?
Cam Newton signed for the Patriots.
Let Jim give us the detail, because he'll have researched it and got some numbers, and then we can all just chat about it.
I haven't really got many numbers, to be honest with you. He signed for the Patriots for league minimum. The Patriots only had $1.3 million left in cap space, so he's probably having all of that plus a load of incentives.
Yeah, so it's a roughly a $1 million one-year deal. But if he starts all 16 games, it goes up to, I think it's $7.5 million. That's all our cap space used up, which is fine. But I think the question is he fit? What do you think?
So he hasn't actually signed the contract yet. He's still got to have his medical before he actually signs the contract.
Yeah.
So there's still time for good old Bill to pull out of this.
Or for God to intervene and him to fall over and hurt himself again.
That's what.
So, there are some big questions to be answered. Firstly, does this mean all of a sudden the Patriots are the best team in the AFC East?
No, they're competitive.
Well, more competitive than they would have been last week, because John, you didn't have them ranked as winning the division last week when you did your.
I had them down as a bust.
Yep.
And I still think they'll be a bust. So, yeah. Oh, well, I think they'll be second in their division, but I don't think that will be enough for playoffs. My position has not changed.
My position has very much changed, and I think if he starts at least 12 games, I think we blitz that division. He's easily the best quarterback in that division now, easily. Even if he's only 90% fit, he's the best quarterback in that division. Because Tua's not going to be fit all season, not fully fit. And he might be the next Cam Newton, but he's not fully fit. Sam Darnold's done nothing yet, and he's playing for a terrible team. And Josh Allen, we've probably seen the ceiling. It's good enough to win, but it's not good enough to win every week.
Josh Allen basically is like another Cam Newton. Like, they're both built like defensive ends.
Yep.
Overthrow the receivers all the time and run really well with the ball. Like, Cam Newton's probably one of the best short yardage runners we've had in the last 10 years.
He has
running back from that as well. Like
he has the most short yardage touchdowns, doesn't he, in the last 9 years?
Yeah, so 58. You know, if the Patriots are planning to play quite a defensive game and then run the ball loads, he gives them an extra weapon.
Yeah, he's easily the best piece of our offense already.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You can compare that to Buffalo. Buffalo have Stephon Diggs. You know, Singletary looked all right last year. I still think the Buffalo Bills are winning that division.
I agree. I think the Buffalo Bills are winning that division. But I think it's now a lot harder than it was this time last week. I do think Cam's everyone's is kind of saying anything about Cam. It's said with the caveat, if he's fit. Mm. And if he's come over his ankle injury from last year, great. He had a shoulder injury the year before, but in 2018, those first 8 games, the Panthers were brilliant, and he was awesome.
Wasn't he only second in the league in yardage thrown after those first 8
games? Yeah, exactly. If you get the Cam Newton that is the starter 2018, then that's a that's a brilliant bit of business, isn't it?
It's a very small gamble, basically, because either we spend virtually no money on a guy who gets superseded by Jarrett Stidham, and which is what was going to happen anyway, or we get a guy who gets us into the playoffs for $1 million. That's it. That's how it's going to work out.
But remember who Cam Newton's best weapons were in Carolina? Greg Olsen, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Patriots still don't have a tight end.
No.
And Sonny Michel is not Christian
McCaffrey. Won't be about Sonny Michel. It'll be James White.
James White. He's still not Christian McCaffrey.
No. And we don't have a tight end.
If you've got both Sonny Michel and James White, then that
gives you've got James White. Sonny Michel's starting the season injured.
Yeah, it looks like he is. I'm not unduly concerned because I think they're just going to build it around how far can Cam run. Like McDaniels did with Tebow. How far can Tebow run with the ball? The offensive line, if they keep Tooney, which it looks like they're going to do, is going to be one of the best four or five lines in the league. And you're going to be left guessing whether he's running or throwing. Edelman will catch off anyone. That doesn't, you know, that's irrelevant. Sanu can only be better than last year. And then it's down to whether N'Keal Harry is actually any good or one of the biggest busts we've ever picked, because he was bad last year. So I don't disagree with you, but this time last week, I'd been pleased with second place in the division. At the moment, I'd be disappointed with second place in the division. I think this puts us right back in contention. And if he's fit for 12 or more games, I think we win the division. I genuinely think that. And I don't like Cam Newton. Like, the personality is absolutely the antithesis of what I like. But to go from Tom Brady to Cam Newton is much better than going from Tom Brady to Jarrett Stidham, even if Stidham turns out to be quite good. It just is.
I think the fact that they signed...
It's like going from Favre to Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that the fact that they signed Cam Newton doesn't give me any confidence in Jarrett Stidham at all now. But if you really...
I think
it's hard for Stidham as well, because, let's face it, he's not had any training snaps as, like, the lead quarterback. He's had four snaps in the NFL, so he's probably not really had that much of a chance. But the fact that they've gone out and bought in Cam Newton, no matter... Yeah, they brought him on a really good deal. Still, to me, that doesn't scream that, Jarrett Stidham is going to be our guy. It screams, we're really happy now we've got someone else other than Jarrett Stidham.
But if they were that, why did they wait so long?
Don't know.
Is this just not a case of
maybe they
can't leave this guy out there anymore? We can be better.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe Cam was asking for too much money beforehand. Maybe, they want to. Because
they were clearly prepared to go with Stidham.
Yeah, but Newton only released a video, was it last week, him practicing with another NFL player? Yeah. Maybe they had a look at that and gone, all right, that's pretty decent, let's take a risk. Maybe there's other videos that got released around got sent by Cam Newton's agent to teams, and Belichick thought, okay, this is now a bit more healthy.
So here's the thing, the question that I'd like answering. What is better right now? Is it the Patriots with Tom Brady for this coming season, or the Patriots with Cam Newton? With the rest of the squad exactly as it is, what's better? Because I think it's Patriots with Cam Newton. And I didn't think I'd ever say that, but Gary's already said the offense is not a lot there. Like John said, there's no tight end or anything. Brady struggled without Gronk, let's be honest. And he's not mobile, whereas at least Newton can take off and run.
Yeah.
Even
also, here's a stat. Newton has beaten the Patriots twice and never lost them. Tom Brady has never beaten the Patriots.
Yep. it's very true. But I'm just making the point that even if Cam is only 90% of Cam, I think that this coming season, that would fare better with what the Patriots have got. I'm not saying Brady will fail with the Bucs, because that team is different and they've got all the weapons and they just need an accurate guy to throw to them. But on the setup that the Patriots have got, it's all about don't give up too many points and have just enough on the offense to run in a couple of touchdowns and win it. That's it. And I think this is the best thing they could possibly do. Like, it seems like a very clever move for me.
Cam gives the potential of a plan B. Brady doesn't do that at the moment. You have to, with Brady, you have plan A, and plan B is plan A but better.
Yeah.
But Cam, at least you have the opportunity. He can tuck it and run it. And that might actually be plan A, but it's still asking a lot in a summer where there's going to be very little practice.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah.
So do we think...
I mean, you can say that about a lot of teams, though, as well. They've all
there's much credence to the thought that Stidham might start the season then while Cam gets up to scratch.
I don't think so. Like, I mean, all... To my point earlier, Stidham's had no training reps. Like, he would have had minimal training reps last year because Tom Brady would have had them all. He's had none this year because we've had no training camps or very little activity. So realistically, he's had the same opportunity as Cam almost. Like, at least Cam's got 10 years?
Nine years, yeah.
I think he's only 31. Like, if he comes into this season, he's obviously got something to prove now because he's basically playing for a contract next year, whether that's with the Patriots or someone else.
Yeah.
He's got enough time left to have a decent run on a good team, have a run at another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe if he plays well enough, he's looking for, what are the top starters getting now? In the 30s, aren't they, for millions of dollars on their contracts?
Yeah.
He's probably looking one step below that because of the injury history. So he's looking in the late 20s is what he's after in his next contract. Whether the Patriots would ever pay that, I don't know. But it's not us that he's got to prove it to. It's 30 other teams that aren't us or the Panthers.
Mm.
And I think he's capable of doing that. And I don't often get, excited is the wrong word, but I don't often get pleased by anything. But I really think this is, basically, if Stidham beats Cam out in a straight shoot, then you've got to think Stidham's got something about him. And if he doesn't, you assume, well, we're going to see something decent out of Cam. So I think it's a win-win, really. Not for everybody else, obviously, because I can already hear the abuse coming if we get to the playoffs and you guys are like, fucking hell, signed Cam, blah, blah, blah. But because that was my first thought. When I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and saw that, I was like, ha! Because I could just hear the abuse coming already. Speaking of abuse...
It won't come. You'll be fine. The playoffs, you will have no abuse because you won't be there. It's fine.
Someone mark that down, will they, please?
I kind of feel like there should be some sort of bet going on between the two of you. And if the Patriots make it to the playoffs, then John has to get a tattoo somewhere on his body and vice versa.
Yeah, we've played this game before. We had someone lined up for a Divock Origi tattoo after he scored the winner, but it never happened, sadly. Yeah, John, we can discuss this side bet. I'd give us a far better chance of making the playoffs than the Giants. Far better.
I'm not betting on the Giants getting to the playoffs. Jeez.
We'll find out about that later on. But yes, the other less exciting Patriots news was the fact that they were fined $1 million.
This is much more exciting.
And lost their third round pick in the upcoming draft next season for spying on a team that at the time was, I think, 0-13.
0-13 or something, yeah.
And being caught, basically. And I think the best thing they could have done is just held their hands up and said, yeah, we did, because we get cheated every year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, because I think if it was a genuine mistake and there was a genuine documentary being filmed and they made a mistake, then, you know, fair enough. But I think because it was the Patriots and because of Spygate 1 and Spygate 2 and Deflategate and whatever else, I think the league's just like, yeah, sorry, guilty.
I agree.
Like, so it's kind of like, it's a bit unfair in a way, but at the same point, it's like, well, you've made your bed, sleep in it.
I agree. It was an inevitable outcome. We were going to get punished. I think we get punished regardless because of all the previous. Like, they can't let it go. We should have just held our hands up and said, yeah, we're cheating. I don't doubt that other teams do work outside the rules, but I think we do it every week, without doubt.
Yeah, I also think people are out to try and catch you as well.
Yes.
I think, you know, Belichick, what was the coach? It was Don Shula who said he had that kind of...
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I think his reputation now, with everything that's gone on, I think other teams deliberately look out for it. Whereas
probably.
Other teams, they probably let it go a little bit.
But does that mean for, like, 15 or 16 weeks of the year, we don't get caught. So, like, you know, really giving up a third round pick, you don't know how many games we won on the back of that. It's, you know, it could be none or it could be five. Like, you just don't know. So, I don't know. whilst we should never condone cheating, we should probably accept that everybody pushes the rules in most sports, and we just do it more than so. I don't, you know, I don't feel bad about it. If it's Luton Town could just cheat their way to staying in the football championship this year, I'd be all right with that. I don't mind.
It's do you remember like Juve got caught bribing refs?
Yeah.
When they were quite clearly the best team in Serie A and got done for it and everything like that. And you were cheating against Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing.
The Northampton Titans can beat Cincinnati Bengals. There's only eight of them. I watch them practice on Abingdon Park. They're rubbish. They're still better than the Bengals. It's obviously systemic that you cheat and
I'd agree. You
know, it's good they've been cut out, but yeah, I'm sure it's systemic throughout the, you know, if you're cheating against Bengals, like God knows what you're going to be against the Ravens in the playoffs. We've got, you know, which of course you don't have to worry about this year.
You're determined, aren't you? But the AFC does have the two most dynamic quarterbacks in Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. But if Cam's fit, they now have the three most dynamic quarterbacks. That's what I would grant that is the case.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Deshaun Watson as well.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
Okay, there you go. So perhaps they've already got the three and Cam makes it four or wherever you want to slide.
I'd probably put Russell Wilson ahead of Cam Newton at the moment.
Only because he's been fit for the last 2 years when Cam hasn't.
Well,
he doesn't run as much as he used to, either, does he?
No, he doesn't. No. That's probably
why he's been as fit, whereas Cam hasn't, because his first thought is always, where can I go? But, right, the Odell Beckham news. He says he's not leaving the Browns for the Patriots. We assume this is true because the Patriots have got no money, but is it more to the point the fact that maybe he is available to leave the Browns? Will someone else be after him?
No. This is a non-story because he had a poor year last year. And just because of that, everyone's now thought, oh, he doesn't want to play there. He's a leader in the locker room. Yes, he had a bad year, but he was playing with an injury all last year. That's why he had un-Beckham-like year. At least give it another year in Cleveland and see what happens. If they were serious about trading him, they would have found someone to trade him to by now because he is a brilliant, talented player.
But both he and Jarvis Landry are recovering from injuries at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure Beckham is an amazing talent anymore. I don't think he has been for 2 years since he.
But he's been injured. He's been injured for 2 years.
Well, then he's not a great player, then, is he?
Well, not if you're injured, no, but. No, if you're not injured and you come back, which many players do, then it's worth
it. But he hasn't come back from that knee injury, has he?
Not yet, because he hasn't played a game yet.
No, but I mean the one he had 2 years ago at the job.
Yeah, I see the point you're making. He's never been the same player.
What numbers has he delivered since that big injury, apart from his contract?
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
You wouldn't take a punt on Odell Beckham.
He is the greatest unfulfilled potential receiver in the league in the last four or five years.
He's hyped himself up to be that. I'm not sure that's the truth.
Really? No, you look at his stats.
Seriously.
His stats are still decent. Maybe not for the last 2 years, but coming in as a rookie.
He's played on appalling teams.
Yeah, exactly. He still was one of the fastest players to like 300 catches or something stupid like that. So he's obviously talented. He's proved he's talented. He's just had
He's Michael Thomas good. It's just he's been on some awful teams. He hasn't had Drew Brees thrown to him. He had nearly retired Eli Manning and Baker Mayfield, who wasn't as good as everyone thought in his second season. So I don't disagree entirely that he's not in the top five or six receivers in the league right now.
Probably not at the moment, no.
But potentially, I think there's still a huge amount there that you can get out of him if they can get it out of him.
I agree with Gary.
Yeah,
you're just bitter.
I think at the moment he's untradeable because no one can afford him.
Yeah,
no one's going to take a punt for $20 million a year. That is not punt territory.
No,
you know that for that you want DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas.
I know it's not all about touchdowns, but he's got 13 touchdowns in 3 years.
Yeah, it's not good enough. But the talent and the athleticism are there. It's just he's not been utilised very well and he's been injured.
You know. I think that this year the Browns have made moves on their offensive line, mm-hmm. which can help him. He's almost a make or break year. Because if he has a middling year this year, then he can't command the money that he's been
only 28, so he has got time.
Yeah,
he's like 28, isn't he, or something? Beckham. Yeah. So he is still quite young. But I do think, you know, I think this is an important season for him. And I think if the Browns, you know, just crash and burn like normal, then you've got a real risk that Beckham is going to spend the best years of his life and his career at the Giants and the Browns. And he's going to be a potentially a great player. But I'm not sure you're going to be able to look back and say he was a great player.
No, I think you're probably right. I think that sums it up quite well. Do you not think it's a huge season for Baker and Beckham, though? Like, both of them, they have to get this right this year. Otherwise, it's start again in Cleveland.
There's no excuse for any quarterback playing on that Browns team not to be doing well with all that talent now around him. And yeah, okay, he didn't have an offensive line last year, but you know, Russell Wilson hasn't had an offensive line for 10 years, 8, 10 years, and look how good he's done about it, and with less weapons. So I think they're a similar type of quarterback in terms of kind of their size and stature. You look at kind of how Russell Wilson burst onto the league. He had a great first season. He won the Super Bowl in his second season, and he's gone on to be a good quarterback. As much as it pains me,
but that division isn't going to be as bad this year as it was last year, is it? It can't be. I think it'll be an amazing season if they get to a winning record. Amazing.
So, is this predicated on the fact that the Steelers are getting Roethlisberger back?
Well, the Steelers won't be worse than last year, will they?
Yeah. Unless Roethlisberger gets injured again.
Yeah, but you would expect them to be better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Bengals certainly cannot be any worse than last year.
No. Well, they can by one game, but they won't be worse than last
they
year.
They won't be. No. So that makes that a harder division, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, whether anyone's got enough tape now to regularly beat the Ravens, I doubt. If I'm honest, I think we concluded already that's the Ravens' division to do what they like with.
Wow. I don't know. I think Lamar this year, you know, watch this space. We saw it with Deshaun Watson, didn't we? A year or two, they started to figure him out a little bit.
Yeah, they did, but people didn't ever really get to grips with Michael Vick. Michael Vick's injuries got to grips with Michael Vick. And people have never really caught up with Russell Wilson. It's just that the teams he's played on have not been that great.
Yeah, so, the dogs from the dog pounds. Here we go.
The difference between Wilson and Lamar Jackson is that Wilson can actually throw the ball. Yeah. I'm still not convinced Lamar Jackson can.
It's true. But Lamar has not been asked to. He could well be better than we think. He just might not be as good as a lot of them.
Yeah.
I still think he's good enough to deliver that division, no problem. And here's the thing. So we didn't talk about it too much last week, but Big Ben coming back to the Steelers, what do we think? Is he going to be any good?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it'll be Big Ben. He'll throw four interceptions and 8 touchdowns.
So where I'm going
and it'll
with
be
this
amazing
is,
and you can get really drunk and it'll just be great.
But he's been injured for the best part of a year. He was injured part of
they
the previous
reckon,
season.
Apart from his belly and his beard, he looks the best he's looked in years.
And his addiction to porn that came out this week as well. It's true!
If it stops him allegedly raping people, then that's fine, isn't it?
Allegedly, it does stop him. So where I was going with that is, who would you rather have off of a year out injured, Big Ben or Cam Newton?
Cam Newton.
Yeah.
So the question I was going to ask earlier about that is, I think last year, most of us, before we got injured again, most of us last year, if you'd have asked us Brady or Cam, we'd have all taken Cam.
Yeah, and I would have as well. Because I was saying last year that it was time for Brady to move on. And I still stand by that. I think he'll do really quite well at the Bucs just because of the way the team is set up. However, thanks, Jim, for the little football update as well.
Right.
However, you don't want to write anybody off, but I think Ben's definitely coming to the end of his his tenure in the league. If he has another injury hit league
before he starts his tender in incarceration,
it could be all over for him. If he gets injured after three or four games this season, that could be it.
That's it, yeah.
But you look at, I mean, he's in exactly the same boat as the other two quarterbacks that went in that draft. In, well, there might be more, but
Rivers
and Manning. Like, Eli Manning's gone. Rivers is probably in his last season, if not gone already. Roethlisberger, I don't think, has ever been as good as he was when he won those two Super Bowls. I don't think he's...
He won them so early in his career.
I mean, I don't think he's done anything since then. And you look at the talent, and we spoke about it earlier, if you look at the talent that he's had around him in terms of like Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and even before that with kind of other wide receivers, like Steelers have got a good history in drafting and developing wide receivers. Emmanuel Sanders was there. I forget who else, but like, there's a good history of that. And he's done well. He was always a solid choice second quarterback in terms of fantasy points, which kind of would indicate he was always pretty decent, but he's always just failed on the big occasion.
Well, he's come up against the Patriots, isn't he, in their prime. If you're serious about it, you know, like, you know, there must have been a number of times in the playoffs that they have met. I don't know, but it must have been between the Broncos, the Steelers and the Patriots. They were the team, weren't they?
He always was up against Brady and Manning.
In a normally dog shit AFC.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Not even a proper league.
There's a fate. You'd rather have Big Ben than Duck Hodges and
Gardner.
I'd rather have you than Duck Hodges and the other fella, Mason Rudolph.
And so, yeah, the Steelers, whilst he's fit, will be better. Just because they can't be any worse. And they were so close to the playoffs with Duck Hodges.
They really were. Let's not forget that. And actually, Hodges completely outplayed Mason Rudolph as well. The only thing Mason Rudolph did of any note was get smashed in the face with his own helmet. Let's not ever forget that, because that, as much as it was terrible, was also one of the most memorable things ever. Any other news anybody has seen that they want to get to this week? There's not been a lot happening, but
49ers have signed both of their number one picks to their contracts. Yeah,
that's true.
So I only care about them.
Kinlaw. Kinlaw.
Javon Kinlaw.
I couldn't remember who the other one was. Okay, that's grand.
There's something. It's not news. But I still have what to bring up, because I was reading a thing this week about...
I love random John.
Yeah. It's not news, but let's just talk about it.
Basically, I was reading a thing, and it was on about young people's lack of attention and how it's affecting football, because nobody wants to watch a 90-minute game.
Are you still talking? Yeah, oh, sorry.
You're not young.
But,
younger than you. Go on.
But and now all the games are playing sequentially. No one can be asked to watch a game after a game after a game, which got me thinking about American football, when it is a four-hour experience watching a game, and you've got red zone app. But I was like, how can the league counteract the sort of YouTube-ification of culture? Because the longer it goes on,
less commercial breaks. Less TV timeouts.
John, can I answer this?
They can't.
I have a perfect answer for this. It's fine. Right. It's less... The NFL has to kind of accept they're going to increasingly make less revenue through TV or TV packages, because there'll be less advertising payment through traditional TV. So instead of, you know, where you have to kind of go from an advertising point of view, you have to go where the attention is. If attention isn't on TV, you go to YouTube, or you go to Facebook, and you get to TikTok or Instagram or whatever.
We're boycotting Facebook, Jim.
Yeah, I heard about that. But to your point, John, you're absolutely right. Like, attention spans are lessening, and it's a fair point. But what will happen is they'll still play the games, but they'll just be cut up into highlight reels. That's why when you go on NFL.com now, you only get like one minute 3-minute highlight reels, and that's all people care about. They care about fantasy football, and they care about kind of watching the big plays and the splash plays, and they care about red zone. That's why red zone is so popular, and why the Premier League have tried to do that in the UK with kind of the Amazon Prime package over kind of on Boxing Day in December. So it will still happen. It was just is a change in revenue model that not only the NFL but lots of kind of broadcasters will have to adopt at some point.
Yeah, no, it's just not just the broadcast as well. Like LA have just spent $4 billion on a stadium.
They'll still fill stadiums because there's still an experience about going into a stadium.
Yeah, it's so different, especially in the States. Like it's not like Wembley where there's rude Germans everywhere, and you know, like the drinks, you know, just really expensive. It's freezing fucking cold. You know, it is different out there. You know, it's a proper all day bit of a tear up. Watch some footy, happy days. It's like
it's more it's like different. Here, like I think going to watch rugby in the UK is much more enjoyable than going to watch football, just because A, it's a whole day event. You go for like you get there kind of midday, you have a few pints, grab something to eat, chat with people around the ground, go and watch the game, have a few more pints afterwards, have a few more pints, and somehow stagger home with a kebab.
Freeze on the train station.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully you turn up with pizza.
And I don't think there's much difference to the NFL in the US as well. Like, it's a day-long event going to watch the NFL game. But yeah, you're right. When it comes to kind of media coverage of it, it will change over time.
Yeah.
They'll still televise games. It's just like, the audience will dwindle. And we've seen it anyways. Trump is always going on to the NFL about how your audience figures are dropping. But of course they are, because less people are watching linear TV. It's a known fact.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just something I was thinking of, and I thought it'd fill some time.
I think you raise a fair point.
I think we've discussed it a few times, because I'm an advocate of still watching full games of football sometimes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So we have talked about it before, haven't we, around the fact that everyone just watches Red Zone. But that takes away a lot of the intricacies of the game. Mm-hmm. But people just don't care. They just want action, 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 action. Which is why we're made to believe that Odell Beckham is the best player that's ever lived.
But even, it's a fair point, you even look at how the Madden franchise has kind of developed over time. Like, you don't have to play a full game of Madden anymore. You can just play the offense only, or the defense only, or the key highlights.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. That's following kind of Gary's point. You know, you miss out on the intricacies of kind of a full drive, but people just want to play the important bits. And, you know, That's just at the moment. That's just where human nature is, based on all the devices and all the media channels and TV channels that they have now. Attention spans are minuscule.
Yeah, it's cool. Disappointing. Right, boom or bust. Last week we did the AFC. Everybody had their divisions to run us through who and what they thought would be a boom or bust of each team. We will do it again this week. Once again, starting in alphabetical order. So that's you, John, with the NFC East.
Bust. G comes before John. Gary comes before John.
East comes before everything else.
Bust.
The whole of the division.
All the division, just not going to the playoffs.
Last year there was
that should be a thing. If everybody in the division finishes under 500, they should be exempt from the playoffs. That should be a thing.
That should be a thing. Yeah, it has happened. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, the Seahawks went
at 7-9.
Yeah, they went that long ago. It's what
2007, 2008, something like that. Go on, John. Sorry.
Anyway,
the conference was a dumpster fire last year. New York have made improvements. They ain't going to be good though. But for fantasy purposes, if Saquon can stay fit, you know, he's going to be a boom. I'm excited about Xavier McKinney. I think he's good player on the defense that they've made an addition to, but I mean, Daniel Jones was fine, but you still need to be better than fine.
Do you not think you'll make a big step this year?
No.
Daniel Jones, no. I think he'll make a big step this year.
He's booked up, so maybe he might fumble, you know.
Less.
He's still going to fumble, though.
I just think he's quite an intelligent player that will have absorbed a lot from last year and will make far fewer mistakes, is what I think.
I can see an improvement. I still don't think it's going to make the team good.
Who's throwing to again?
Golden Tate, Sterling Shepherd,
Ingram.
Corey Coleman,
Ingram, yeah.
Evan Ingram.
And Barkley.
Once again, Evan Ingram, Barkley were injured a lot last year.
Yeah.
So
your running back, who you get to do loads of workload, was injured a lot last year. That is a surprise.
Yeah. Well, no, because we were, if he played well, they'd pull him in the second half. And then we go and lose. So, I mean, I'm more excited about our head coach than I was the previous one, Joe Judge. But, yeah, that's enough for the Giants.
Hey, you've got Corey Coleman as well.
Yeah.
Is he that little...
He's coming off an ACL. Yeah. Dallas have got rid of Garrett, who's gone to the Giants.
he's gone to the Giants. Brilliant.
Yeah.
With a clap.
So we can afford to more stuttering offense. But yeah, so Dallas, you know, they've signed Dak to the tag. I mean, Dak has detractors as well as fans.
Well, I said to you when they signed Dalton as backup that I don't think the drop off between Dak and Dalton is that big a deal. And if
not with that offensive line, I think any decent quarterback would look all right.
The offensive line and those weapons as well. Like,
well, that means that the Cowboys then don't necessarily have to spend the money on Dak. If Dak doesn't have a good year and for any reason misses time and Dalton plays, you know, Dalton's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper for the next 2 or 3 years.
I said this last week. Yeah, you're right. Like, with, you know, you've got those wide receivers, Cooper, CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. That's probably... In terms of kind of quality receivers, if CeeDee Lamb kind of comes through from the potential he has, that's probably as good a receiver set as there is. And then you've got Zeke Elliott as well.
Are we not a bit worried about Zeke after he was on like some live stream saying he was high the other day?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a distraction now.
So we didn't talk about the fact that his dogs have attacked his cleaner this week. Not seen that?
I think you can always be worried about Zeke. Because he's that type of person, doesn't seem to understand that he's in such a
privileged position.
He's just a bit of an idiot.
Hasn't he threatened to sue someone over?
No, someone's suing him because a cleaner came in on the wrong day or something, and his dogs attacked them and gouged their arms. he's being sued for like $200,000 or something.
Yeah, but he's suing someone else as well.
I think he's counter-suing them for turning up at a time they weren't supposed to be on the property. so his dogs just attacked them. And then, he went on some like gaming live stream or something, or a radio interview, I can't remember which, and said, that he was high. So I think there's issues with Zeke. Obviously, he's had COVID, you know, from partying. Last year, that's going flying back from somewhere in Mexico partying. Like, I'm not, you know...
Apparently Zeke Elliott is threatening to sue Sports Illustrated over that story controversy because he wasn't high. So he looks like he could be high.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He always looks like that.
And, you know, he said he was. That's why
he said he was
it.
High, yeah.
He forgot he was live streaming.
Yeah, that's right.
He's... I do worry for them because he is a distraction now. He's a great player, but this is the third year he's been a distraction.
Yeah.
You know. but he's a generational talent. So defensively, they're going to be fine because they always are. They're going to probably, I think they're strong enough to win the division.
Good new head coach as well. No doubt to win.
Mike McCarthy. So
it'd be interesting to see what the offense looks like under Mike McCarthy. Bearing in mind, Rodgers was not happy with how the offense was run in Green Bay. Like, you would imagine Dak is a far more amenable character, but if the offense is dull or staid or whatever the word is, will even Dak, would he speak out or will he just toe the line?
Like, I can't imagine Dak speaking out. But also, like, Dak and Dalton are in the same book here, and that they've not had any time working with this offense. But what I was saying with Newton, Cam Newton earlier, like, this is going to be a new offense for them. And
yeah.
I mean, I trust Dak good enough to pick it up. He is a quality. I think he is probably a top 10 quarterback.
Don't forget, Mike McCarthy spent a year in his garage with his coaches adapting to how the NFL had changed. That's what he came back and said. He'd gained about 800 pounds, but he also came back and said that.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah, and as well, part of Rodgers' disagreements was the fact that he had no one to throw to, which is not something Dak or Dalton can say.
Also very true.
Also still very relevant.
Yeah. Philadelphia have lost my
horrible Jacobs. Fans.
Yeah. Awful fans. but once again, great offensive line. They've brought in Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So, which we discussed and isn't a bad decision.
I think it's a great idea.
When you've got a injury-prone quarterback, I think it's going to be more the same for Philly. And Washington Redskins are a dumpster fire. But Von Riviera... I can't help it.
Dwayne Haskins is going to be a bust, right? Dwayne Haskins is going to be a massive letdown.
I think so.
But
so they're starting again.
If Chase Young plays to his near to his potential, he could be a top 10 defender. Ryan Kerrigan's...
He'll have enough time on the field to get the stats up, won't he?
Yes, he will.
I think
that defense could be really good. There's a lot of first round talent on that defensive line, and they've also throughout the defense the strength. And Ron Rivera is a defensive minded coach. So, yeah, I think
that's what concerns me with the quarterback is that that's not Rivera's strength.
Exactly.
And already struggling, so the defense might be in the league top 10, but the offense could be so poor.
Exactly.
They're
going to lose a lot of close games, I think, this year. But they're going to lose a lot of games. Like, I see the Redskins picking quite high again, like top five. And if that's enough to get them a decent quarterback next year, that could be what happens.
Quick question about the Eagles. How many games do we think Carson Wentz makes it through this year? Because Hurts is shown in the past in college. Player coming off the bench who can be good. He's a player who go to the bench and not kick up. So he's going to be there just to step in, and he could well sort of surpass him.
He was knocked out in the playoffs last
year. Yeah, so he made it through 16.
It was an illegal hit.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fact that he was,
I believe he got knocked out and Griff called him a pussy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because he insisted on leaving the field like a pussy.
Well, he had to leave the field.
Concussed. It was a great hit.
It was a great hit.
That's what I watch football for. It was a great hit.
It's the same reason
I tune in on Brandon Cooks every week, just to watch that happen to him.
I think I'm hopeful for 16 games, because why not? But
because the roster now reads Wentz Hurts.
Which is about right, because it does. The only thing stopping Wentz being a top 10 quarterback every year is the potential for injury, because when it happens, it tends to be big for him. I still think he's one of the most talented young quarterbacks in the league, and he just hasn't had the opportunity to show it consistently. I'm not sure about the team. They seem to self-destruct since they won the Super Bowl. They've not been a team. They've been
they've had bad injuries, like on defense. Like they've had to play nobodies because their top players always get injured on defense as well.
I think it's not just that as well. It's, you know, a lot of their very good players are a bit older, looking for that big money contract. So Fletcher Cox, etc. You have to pay them. So yeah. You know, you can't do these things on, you know, low money forever, can you? So then you've got to, you know, that's the great leveler about this league, isn't it? Is that you can't just have whoever you want all the time, unless you cheat and, you know, manipulate contracts and pay people off the books and deflate balls and film
the Bengals.
Now, unless you do those things,
and how much jealousy?
The entire history and the, you know, the history of a great nation, then you can't do these things. So
I really like the running back at the Eagles, though, Miles Sanders. He had a few real good moments last year. If he's given the chance, to everyone's point, if he can stay fit, because, you know, the Eagles almost ran out of receivers last year to the point where Josh McCown is almost on the field as a receiver. Now, if he can stay fit, I think he could be a real interesting player to watch and a potential fantasy.
John, who's winning this division?
Dallas.
Anyone disagree?
No. John, are there two teams coming out of this division?
No.
I mean, yeah, there could be,
especially now with the expanded playoffs. I suspect the Eagles will be good
that's
enough.
A fair point, actually.
I think the Eagles will be good enough. I can't see the Giants or the Redskins getting anywhere close to the playoffs, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, I think two out of this division this year.
Do you think the Giants will have improved? Next up, NFC North.
Oh, shit, that's me.
It is you.
Right, let's start off with my favourites, the Packers.
Are you going to rip them?
I wrote on my notes, strange off-season. So, like, you remember the playoffs last year where the 49ers basically just ran the ball over and over and over and over and over and over again and just, like...
You mean over the Packers?
Literally ran over the Packers.
Whilst we just watched Duncan cry a little bit more.
I mean, from our point of view, it was great. But I can imagine from a Packers point of view, you're just a Packers fan point of view, you're sitting there going, look, would you just find a way to fucking stop the run? Now, normally the way to stop the run is to, you know, bring in a defensive tackle or like a really good middle linebacker, not let one of your middle linebackers go to the Giants like Blake Martinez has done. And yet they didn't do it. They just didn't do that. Like their whole off-season strategy was just weird. Because the other thing everyone was saying is like, right, going to the draft, all these wide receivers in the draft, Packers nailed on, going to take one in the first or second round. So obviously what they do is pick their replacement QB in the first round. And don't even take a wide receiver in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh round. Barely picked one up in free agency. They picked up Devin Funchess. Like, they took a tight end in the third round. They let one wide receiver, Geronimo Allison, leave the Lions. And normally, I'd be like, yeah, well, that's fine. He was terrible. But at least, like, keep an experienced wide receiver there. So I've been critical of Aaron Rodgers a fair bit over the last couple of years.
Is he's rubbish?
He's not rubbish, though. He is brilliant. He's a brilliant, brilliant quarterback. He's got an attitude problem. But now I can forgive him for having an attitude problem. It's like, where's his head at? He's like, right, he's what, 37, 38?
Yeah, 37.
He's got one, two, maximum three seasons left in him at a top level. And he's like, what are you doing? Because I just think it looks a bit shit. Like, how's his relationship with the head office and Matt LaFleur after that? I'll be like, what's going on? You drafted my replacement. Fuck you.
Do you think he's there at the end, at this time next season? Do you think Aaron Rodgers is there? I think there's a very good chance he's gone.
I think there is a chance. I think he's probably there for two more years. I think that's when his contract runs out. It might be free. I don't think he's ever, I don't think he has another contract in Green Bay.
But do you not think if he stamps his feet this season and says, look, we're not getting anywhere near where we should be because of the way the front office behaved. He will say it. He won't just absorb it. We know he can't absorb it. They'll try it.
I think 2 years. 2 years. I think it'll be the start of 2 years. And I think they've decided they had a chance to take the top quarterback this time and they might not have that again. So I think they took him and went, do you know what? We'll just sit him and we'll let him learn. And if Rodgers doesn't like it, then we'll deal with it and we'll see what we can get for Rodgers. But if not, we'll just sit him. I think that's what they've decided. And then they go, right, you know, we picked a top 10 quarterback, you know, or wherever they picked, like top 15, you know. So they've gone, we'll just take him. You know, we can pick up a wide receiver from anywhere. You don't know which wide receiver is going to be good. Michael Thomas went in like round three or something, didn't he? He had no idea. You know, Cooper Kupp went like in like round two or three. You know, it was a very deep receiver class, wasn't it?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It was a deep receiver class. I wasn't saying they had to take one in the first round, but at least take one. Like, pick one up.
Yeah.
Like, you could even, you know, we were chatting earlier about the 49ers picking up the receiver in the seventh round who looks decent. Like, get him something.
Steal my thunder, Jim.
Yeah, I've mentioned it briefly, but get him something to phrase it. Also, they lost two right tackles. So, Brian Bulaga's gone. And where did I write that down? Jared Valdir has gone as well. They drafted a tackle, but okay, so you're going to bring in a rookie right tackle and you're going to bring in no wide receivers and a tight end in the third round who's actually not a pass catching tight end, he's more of a blocking tight end, and you're bringing in a big bully of a running back. So they obviously got a game plan to run the ball. Rodgers, I don't think he's going to stand for that. Like, he's going to get pretty pissed off. So, yeah, I think he could be on the way out.
I'm with you. Okay, next up.
The Minnesota Vikings. They're almost like the complete opposite of the Packers. I thought they had a really good offseason so far. So they got rid of Stephon Diggs. Like, he wasn't happy there. They got a first-round pick for him. Fair play. They got rid of Trey Waynes and Xavier Rhodes. Xavier Rhodes has like fell off a cliff. fair play to him there. And then they then kind of started to replace them. So yeah, wide receiver. They brought in their former first rounder, Laquon Treadwell. He's back. You know, probably not going to be very good, but at least
he's a special gamer.
Yeah, at least he knows the system. And if they, you know, if they get into a state which the Eagles are in, like, he can step in. They brought in Tajay Sharpe from the Titans, who had a lot of potential, never seen it, so he could be good. And then they drafted Justin Jefferson in the first round. That's what I mean. So the Vikings needed a wide receiver, picked up a wide receiver. Packers needed a wide receiver, picked up a quarterback. Cornerback, they brought in three new cornerbacks in the draft, so they got rid of two dodgy ones. They brought in three new ones, including Jeff Gladney, who was a first-round pick. And they extended Kirk Cousins to a three-year extension. So I think, overall, pretty good off-season. I did write down, though, is it Mike Zimmer's last chance? Like, he's been there a few years. They had one good playoff run, but I think
as long as they are in the playoffs, I think that team is his team. It's if they miss the playoffs, I think the rope is that sort of... The leash, sorry, is that short. Make the playoffs, we'll keep you on. Fail to make the playoffs, it's over.
Yeah.
I think that is the expectation there because, I don't know, this might sound unfair, but Minnesota never strike me as the most ambitious place. I know they spent money, but it was on Kirk Cousins. And I still don't think he's worth the money, even though he's been good. But
he's been averaged good.
The ambition is make the playoffs. It's not win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I think Mike keeps the job as long as they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I do. I've completely forgotten what the running back's name is. Who's a really good running back?
Cook.
Yeah, I've got a problem with Dalvin Cook, who's apparently going to be a holdout for a new contract.
I think is crazy because he's been injured. He's also been injured. He must look around at the other running backs that have done this and realise all he's done is cause problems.
Is Latavius Murray still there? He did okay last year, didn't he?
He's at the Saints.
Is it the Saints?
Yeah.
Mattison. He was there at one point.
It's Alexander.
He was there. He used to be there.
Mattison is the backup. And he was good when he stepped in last year, because they used to take Cook off the field, didn't they, in like the third and fourth quarters. I don't know. I just think he probably owes it to the team to play, because he missed so much time with injury. And I don't think running backs holding out have done themselves any favours in the recent years. They got paid, but they've made themselves look bad, and it's not helping the rest of the fraternity. So.
Yeah, and I think the ones that have got paid haven't really proved themselves. Like, I think of Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, even Devonta Freeman to an extent, he got paid pretty well.
Yeah.
And none of those three have really done that much. Zeke Elliott's probably the standout who got paid and carried on with decent production, but then we've just chatted about off the field issues there. Right, Chicago Bears. Here's what I wrote. When you're short of draft picks, have no first round pick, and have a load of tight ends on the roster, the first thing you obviously do is take a tight end high in the second round. So they drafted Cole Kmet, who I think was the ninth tight end on their roster.
Well, after paying Jimmy Graham $8 million a year.
Yeah, exactly. The Bears played a two tight end set on only 13% of their plays last year, which is... That'd be my dog. She did not agree with taking Cole Kmet in the second round. As I was saying, the Bears play 13% of their players with two tight ends, which is the third lowest in the league. So obviously, I kind of think that they're going to be changing the way they play moving forward. You don't have nine tight ends on the roster if that's what you're going to be doing. Other stuff they did: Nick Foles, they traded and they brought him in. Who starts day one, Griff?
Nick Foles. Well, Trubisky, because there's been no off season, but Nick Foles will start the majority of the games. Trubisky's not going anywhere as a starter. I don't think Nick Foles is the answer, but I think if you think another team will trade for Trubisky after what he's been through, you don't risk getting him injured if he has a poor start to the season. You just put him on the trade block, try and get a third round pick for him, see if someone will use him as a reclamation project. Nick Foles is being held back by the lack of a pre-season, but he will be the better of the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think GM Ryan Pace he's kind of handcuffed to Mitch Trubisky, because he obviously traded up to get him. Being free, is this going into his fourth year now? And he's been a bit harsh.
We've seen as much progress as you're going to see out of him. He's not suddenly going to be a really talented. He didn't do enough in college. They took a gamble. It didn't work. If it had come off, it would have been one of the greatest draft steals of all time.
Yeah. However, I think Trubisky starts. I think Foles is there, so they've got a genuine backup.
Yeah, I think he'll start, but I don't think he'll last, because he's just played bad last year.
He's been bad every year.
He showed progression in his second year, which kind of got you thinking, all right, yeah, first year, and that was his first year under Matt Nagy. Fair enough, he's kind of improved. But last year, I think the whole of last year was such a backward step for the Bears. Like, I felt they looked all right going into the season, and then they were just terrible.
I think Matt Nagy is a really good coach, but I think he spends all his time trying to figure out how do I get progression and production from Trubisky, and he actually needs to concentrate on the whole team. And at least with Nick Foles, you know, he might not be exciting and he might not win you many games, but he won't be the reason you lose many games. Yeah. And that would allow you to concentrate on the fact that your defense needs to improve, because it's not been what it was. And you want to try and get more out of... What's the running back whose name is completely... Cohen. Cohen is supremely talented, massively underutilized, because they were too busy trying to figure out Trubisky. That's where I think the Bears are at.
I would agree with that. The other thing I wrote down, I think, to the point there, I think Ryan Pace has to go at the end of the year. He's not built a good squad. And I think he went all in with the Khalil Mack trade, which I think was a great trade. They got a great player out of it. But I don't think they've not really capitalised on having such a good player. And it was a lot to invest in a pass rusher, no matter how good he is. Two first-round picks and a kind of second-round swap as well. They did bring in Robert Quinn, who can play opposite Khalil Mack. That might free up some time for him. But, you know, Robert Quinn's been past his best for the last few years. And they re-signed safety Eddie Jackson to an extension, who's, I think, one of their key players in the backfield. But I wouldn't be holding up much hope for the Bears this year. The Lions.
that's the end of that review, right?
Yeah.
First coach to get sacked.
Yeah, I said this is Matt Patricia's last chance, surely.
Yeah.
Here's a question. The common link, Danny Amendola, Jamie Collins, Danny Shelton, and De'Ron Harmon.
Patriots?
All ex-Patriots and all signed by the Lions for this year.
Yeah, nice.
And we've seen enough times with Patriots players. They leave the Patriots and they're suddenly not as good. Well, the Lions have got four of them and I think a few others on the roster as well.
Yeah.
They strengthened the offensive line. I can't pronounce this. Halapa Valarte. Solid starter from the Eagles. And they drafted Josh Jackson in the third round, which I think is a really good draft. And then they kind of built around their running game. So I think Kerryon Johnson has been good for the last season. He gets injured a lot, but they can now complement him with DeAndre Swift, who they brought in the second round. And I think that's actually a decent kind of stable of running back. So maybe that could be turning the corner. I also like what they did. They traded Darius Slay, who wanted out of there. No point keeping a player who's so desperate to get out of your locker room. And then they drafted Jeff Okuda, who's probably one of the best players in the draft. Certainly the best cornerbacks, but probably one of the best players overall as well. So I'm looking forward to watching him. And then brought in Reggie Ragland, who was a linebacker for the Chiefs. So again, strengthening that defense. He's a very kind of Patriots type player, came from Alabama, so he kind of oozes kind of Patriots. So it's another similar signing. Oh, and then, like I mentioned, they got Geronimo Allison from the Packers. So,
can I ask a question about the Lions? Do you think in 5 years' time we'll look back at this period and the last 5 years that we've just watched and think that the Lions wasted a really talented quarterback, but didn't elevate the team enough? What do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they wasted Stafford. They wasted Megatron as well. Megatron's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame because he was unplayable. Stafford won't, but in terms of quality as a quarterback, he's right up there with certainly Roethlisberger, Manning, and Rivers.
Yeah, I agree. I think Stafford's been wasted, and I think it's a massive shame. The team has just. Who would you say, other than Stafford and Megatron, have been really great players in this period for the Lions?
Dominican Sue was there, obviously, for a time.
Hit-miss. Darius Slay was very good.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was a good cornerback. They got a decent pick back for him.
Other than that, really, none of the running backs have ever been great.
They've never had a good running back. They haven't had a good running back since Barry Sanders.
Kerryon Johnson is a really good running back. It's just he needs to stay on the field.
Yeah.
I just think they've wasted him. Poor drafts, poor coaching.
I do quietly like what they've done in this offseason, though. Like, they've made some solid moves. Yeah, I mentioned the Patriots player. I'm not keen on any of those, to be honest with you. But some of the other moves I made, especially I thought they had a decent draft. A couple of free agents brought in who could add to the team. I'd say they were in as good a position as they possibly could be.
But they will still waste it.
Yeah, okay. Probably. I don't rate Matt Patricia as a coach. Last year, I thought he'd be all right, but not this year.
They changed ownership this year, didn't they, the Lions?
Yeah.
Arthur Firestone Ford to her daughter, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So I don't think that makes any difference.
No, she's been a really dramatic figurehead for the last few years, isn't she? Always looking miserable about the team being so bad, that's all.
I mean, they might... the new owner might come up, or the new chairman might come in and say, right, we're going to start again and get rid of the GM and get rid of the head coach who are quite closely tied to the both ex-Patriots and start again. But I don't think it's the right time to start again if you've got Stafford on the roster.
You need to build around him. Who's next?
That was it.
Is that all of them? Right. What's the finishing order for that division?
Oh, I don't know. Vikings, Packers, Lions, Bears.
And how many playoff teams?
Because it's extended to, I think the Packers will creep in.
Yeah. Anyone else? Any take on that division?
I think the Packers will win the division.
I don't. I think the Vikings should probably win that.
What did the Packers go? 13-3 last
13-3.
Yeah, but I don't think
they have to remember that.
An unhappy Aaron Rodgers will not win that many games.
And I don't think to put two fingers up to the rest of the world.
I don't know if it works like that with a man like him. I think he just thinks
he wasn't happy last year. He wasn't happy at all last year. He still won 13 games.
I think he wants to get home, sit there with his scotch and go, fuck you, and fuck you, and fuck you too.
I agree, but I think his motivation was, I can be great and get rid of Mike McCarthy. And then he's realised that really, life's not that much better if you don't put your whole soul into playing. And I just don't think he does that anymore. I really don't. I don't think he's the player he was, because I don't think he can be asked most of the time.
I still think the Packers win that division.
Fair enough.
I think it's tight.
I think it's competitive.
I think you definitely get two out of that division.
Yeah, definitely two. There's a possibility with the new playoff structure, you could easily get three out of that division.
No.
If the Bears' defence is brilliant and they go to Nick Foles straight away, you could get a third.
I don't think Nick Foles is that good.
No,
Chicago's too far away from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I like Nick Foles, but he's a solid quarterback. I don't think they're close enough yet.
Fair enough.
I think when you look at the next two divisions, if you're going to say three come out of a division between these next two.
Yeah, I think it's going to be when we get to the West. I think that's where three are. Right, I'm up next with the NFC South. I'll start with the Bucks, because that is all change of how we're going to do it. We've been watching Bruce Arians' No Risk It, No Biscuit with Jameis, and now we're going to watch whether Brady can still throw down the field or not. The answer is, as Gary quite rightly shakes,
no.
But he doesn't have to, because they don't forget they signed Gronk as well.
And he's done loads of drugs.
I think allegedly. Gronk will be healthy because he's had time to recover and he's taken all the steroids in the sun. Yeah. But he'll be healthy. And I think this team will be really, really good. Don't forget last year, number one in run defense. They weren't very good in pass defense. They need to keep working on that. But I think
secondary isn't great, is it?
No, the secondary is the weakness. It's going to be whether they put the points on the board. And I really think they will. The wide receiver group is excellent. Uh-huh. And Brady is just going to be it's the leadership. Between Brady and Arians, that leadership elevates everybody, even on the defense. It just does. You've seen it at the Patriots. It's just the way it works. And I cannot see how this team isn't better than last year's team. What did they go last year? 6-10 or 7-9 with Jameis at the helm throwing 30 interceptions? You could probably add another 3 or 4 wins onto that just from having Brady not turn the ball over.
Yeah, but Brady has got to actually play in a competitive division for the first time in his career.
Now, we're getting to that. This is where we said one of these two divisions is going to have three teams come out of it. I agree.
Brady's going to get hit a lot this
year.
Well,
they had the fifth best O-line last year.
Yeah, and they strengthened it as well. They brought in
the
draft.
Yeah, massive. Yeah. I don't think Brady's not in trouble in this team. And if he can still throw like three quarters of Tom Brady, the wide receiver group is too good for this team to not be excellent.
I really like the fact that they bring in not just good players in terms of Brady, and if Gronk comes back to 60% of what Gronk was as a decent tight end. But it's that kind of winning culture that they bring in and that winning leadership. Like, those guys know how to win football games, like a lot of football games. I think your point. They've still got OJ Howard there as well. Like, he gets forgotten. He's another monster tight end. Like, if Brady is, if that offensive line is under pressure, then you've got Howard and Gronk to sit on either side of it and add added protection. And then you only need Mike Evans and Chris Godwin as wide receivers.
Yeah, I think they can blow a lot of teams away. And the biggest letdown last year for the Bucks was that the defense was always on the field because Jameis would give the ball back twice or three times a game. Next up for me, the Saints, and it's Jameis again. Now, obviously, he's not starting. We know Drew Brees is going to be there, but let's not forget Brees missed plenty of time last year with injury.
And he's a massive racist, allegedly.
And he certainly has
the gays.
He has some interesting opinions. That isn't the problem. The problem is, he's aging, and we're probably going to see Jameis is where I'm going with this. And how Jameis responds could be whether this team sinks or swims, because don't forget last year, Teddy won 5 of 5 starts, I think, or 4 of 5 starts. Yeah.
5 out of 5.
Do you think Jameis is doing that with his team, or is it at best 2 and 2, maybe 2 and 3 if he has to start 5 games? Because he will still throw the ball to the other team.
He does have Michael Thomas.
Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't matter if you overthrow it.
Yeah, Mike Evans last year. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I don't think the backup situation is better this year. I think it was better last year. And I still think Breeze will miss time. So I'm not sure the Saints are as good.
If he sucks, and if he really sucks, they've still got Taysom Hill.
Who we've never really seen throw. You know, they obviously don't believe in Taysom Hill, otherwise you don't spend money on Jameis Winston.
I completely agree with that. But, you know, he doesn't have to throw it, does he? He can just run.
No. The other question mark for me, Alvin Kamara was disappointing last year, right? Does he respond? And basically, we need to get his touchdowns back up to where they were in the first couple of seasons. Because last year, especially receiving-wise, very, very offbeat year.
Yeah.
What do we think? Is he coming back? Can he be as good? Or is he sort of a spent force already? Has he shown his hand and that's it?
He's not a spent force, but it happens when you have a player like that. People get tape on him. They cover those short distance throws to Kamara. You know,
there is a reason why running backs do not regularly go for 1,000 catching and 1,000 running yards.
Yeah,
there is a reason for that.
Yeah.
He's done less drugs than McCaffrey. but yeah. You know, he'll be fine, but
he may never
get those sort of numbers again because the surprise is gone.
I think the biggest impact on the Saints this year is actually bringing in Emmanuel Sanders, because last year everything was going through Michael Thomas. He had the most catches in the year for a reason, because he was the only person catching the ball. And that also put added pressure on Alvin Kamara, because they've only got to put 2 cornerbacks on Alvin Thomas, and then everyone else can just blitz the quarterback or pick up Alvin Kamara. I think having Emmanuel Sanders now changes how teams have to face the Saints.
As well, they had Mark Ingram when he had his big year, and Latavius Murray's good.
And he's not Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
That's where I was going with Alvin Kamara. I think that it's a step back. I like Latavius Murray, but it's a step back from Ingram. And so more is expected out of Kamara, and he just didn't carry it so well. It's not the same 1-2 punch, is it, with the two of them?
They've got Ty Montgomery this year, so 1-2-3 punch.
He'll be shit.
1-2 fumble.
That's it. Jim's had enough. He's left. Panthers.
I think he's going to get rid of his whining dog.
Yeah, I have.
Panthers, interesting season for the Panthers coming up. I think it's all changed. And I don't think there's much expectation, if I'm honest. No. I think 4 wins is the minimum requirement. And anything more than that, they'll say it's a building year.
Well, you lost your quarterback and Luke Kuechly, didn't you? So,
yeah.
Quarterback, Kuechly, new coach.
Yeah.
You know. So Matt Rhule comes with an excellent reputation for turning franchises around in his second year.
Year 2.
So the first year, that's what I mean. I'm looking at 4 wins plus is a good year for them. I like Teddy, and I think if he's well protected, you're going to see a really good player. He looked good playing for the Saints. Didn't ask a lot out of him, but he looked good.
Yeah.
I think
he didn't throw for that many yards.
No, but I don't think he has to in this offense as well. They've got McCaffrey, and then they've got a load of kind of smaller, fast wide receivers.
Yeah.
All they have to do is get the ball to them and let them do the work.
Yeah. Does anybody know how many turnovers he committed in his 5 or 6 games for the Saints last year?
One.
I think it was one. Was it two?
It was two. 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
I mean,
1,400 yards and a 99 passer rating.
That's Brady level ball protection.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. And
if he can reduce that, boys.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's good enough to help this team win and make them competitive the following year. Obviously, you're wasting a year of McCaffrey, which is disappointing. But you've got to choose somewhere. I don't think much of the wide receiver group. I never really do for the Panthers. When Robbie Anderson is your star wide receiver signing, there's a
give
problem.
Up.
Yeah, that's not ideal. And yeah. I'm not...
Matt Rhule has got history with Robbie Anderson. Like they worked together in college. So
they both got shit dreadlocks.
Yeah.
If any coach can get anything out of Robbie Anderson, it's probably him.
Yeah, and he is a talented player, but it's like an even bigger, it's an even bigger version of Beckham. It's like talented player, completely unfulfilled. That's Robbie Anderson.
Can't catch the ball.
He's got stone hands. Is a bit of a problem. I don't think much of the O line.
College sprinter. Is he a college sprinter in an NFL jersey? That's all he is.
I'd love to be a college sprinter.
He's got no hands, is he?
Well, he's got hands. They're just made of stone.
Well, he doesn't use them.
It's very true. So I think this is a year too early for anything other than very limited success for the Panthers. And that leaves us with the Falcons. Now, the biggest question mark for me for the Falcons is Dan Quinn spending another year fighting for his job? Because if he is, I think it's very, very disruptive for the team. They dug him out of a hole last year by turning it around, but he wasn't good. He wasn't having a good season as a coach. And I think he's in the same boat again. I still think they should have moved on.
Yeah, I do. Well, I said that midway through the season. They turned it around for him. They did very well towards the end of the season, but I still don't think he's all that.
No, I don't. I don't think he's ever recovered from the Super Bowl, if I'm honest. And that's fine. But what do you think of Thomas Dimitrov? He's been a really firm, binding force for the Falcons.
Loves mountain biking.
Do you think he gets to keep building squads at the Falcons? Or is some of this on him for not doing quite enough?
No, I disagree with that. I think you look at the roster, you look at the talent on that roster, and that's basically his primary job is to build that up. And I think it still looks decent. Like it's not.
Beat the fact that Dan Quinn is still there.
Sorry, say that again.
Do you not think it's at Dimitrov's feet that Dan Quinn still has a job there?
Potentially, but I think kind of when it comes to head coaches, it's not just the GM that makes that decision. I think because Dan Quinn got them to a Super Bowl, I think Arthur Blank has a bit of a soft spot for him. But I still think this is Dimitrov's team in terms of kind of as a general manager. I can't see him going because I still think there's a lot of talent on this team. They could still surprise. I think some of the they've taken some risks in some of the players they've brought in.
Todd Gurley. Anyone think he's going to be any good?
Well, if he comes back and he is, that's a heck of a signing, isn't it?
So is he more or less of a risk than Cam Newton to the Patriots?
More because of the money.
He's not on that much.
8 million?
He's on $8 million.
Aren't Rams paying most of his?
Yeah.
Do you not think it's more of a risk just because he was so far off the pace and so concerned about the knee?
No.
And he's a running back who takes all the stress.
It's a one-year. It's a one-year deal for a running back. So it's not like his contract is absolutely loaded in the next 3 years. So you can't sign anyone else. If you've got that salary cap and you can bring in a player who's got the pedigree of Todd Gurley, I think that's worth a risk. They've also got Dante Fowler Jr., who's a decent pass rusher. Actually.
Yes,
underrated pass rusher, I think.
If they say injury normal rather than getting absorbed by injuries on the defense, a bit like the Eagles last year. This defense is still really good.
Yeah.
It's just about how they're coached towards winning games that I think is the problem. So for me, I'm going to go out there and say Brady and the Bucks win this division by one game ahead of the Saints. And then the Panthers and the Falcons for me are fighting it out at the bottom of this division. I don't think you get three teams out here. I think you get the Bucks and the Saints, and the other two are well off the pace in this division.
See, I don't know. I think the Panthers could still be competitive. I agree. If they win four games, I think that's fine. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them go 8-8 and be competitive.
Fair enough. So that leaves us with Gary and the West and all the good teams.
Yeah. So I did some research.
Are you just bringing up Jim's messages for you?
No, I didn't ask Jim for any help this week. So. This is all me. So, start with the Niners. So, the first thing on my mind was that classic Super Bowl hangover. Is that going to be a factor, do we think? We saw what he did to the Falcons a few years ago. Because no one saw their drop-off coming, did they?
No.
The Broncos came back and won the next year.
Yeah.
So did the Patriots.
I think good teams come back.
Young enough team, maybe.
Yeah, that's where I was going. It's a young enough team where they can get over that. I think they they've still got a lot. They've obviously got a lot of belief in Shanahan because they gave him a new contract. And they've made a few changes, but I still think there's a lot of the key players are on this team still.
Yeah.
Like, DeForest Buckner's the only one who's like, yeah, shit.
Yeah. So, big question there around Kinlaw, isn't there? So, obviously, I wasn't a particular fan of getting rid of Buckner and keeping Armistead. I wasn't too keen on that trade. I was pleased when we picked up Kinlaw. Looked very impressive. But they are some seriously big boots to fill, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a bit of a risk. And then, obviously, Jimmy G. So, obviously, the jury is still out, isn't it? 2 years in, the jury is most definitely still out on Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Has he won us enough games is the question. Can he win us enough games?
One of those years, he was injured for the whole one. Is that like last year was his first year playing 16 games in a regular season.
Can I ask, as fans of the team, how much responsibility was on him for you not winning the Super Bowl?
It was on Sherman.
No, he overthrew Sanders right at the end, which probably would have won it. But at the end of the day, the defense have also got to stop Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So there's lots of if, buts, and what fors. There's a number of reasons why we didn't. And you can say, yeah, he shouldn't have overthrown Sanders, or we should have ran the ball more, or Sherman shouldn't have lost Tyreek Hill on that play. So there's a couple of things, but you know, we got beaten by the better team at the end of the day.
Yeah.
For my money, Jimmy Garoppolo is a solid quarterback for as long as you want him there. I'm not sure he's ever going to be a top five quarterback in the league, but he could well be in the top 10 several years out, you know, 5 years out of eight or something. Because
it's like what we just said about Bridgewater. He didn't actually turn that over that much.
No.
His accuracy was actually decent, but I think I'd like to see it upgrade a little bit. I think some of that is down to the wide receivers on the team. That, you know, Deebo Samuel was in his first year. Second half of the year, Deebo Samuel was amazing. Let's hope he has that same solid game again.
He's broken an ankle or whatever it is.
Yeah, we needed Emmanuel Sanders to come in last year and really turn things around, I think. But now I think there's a few more wide receivers coming back from injury. So maybe we don't see that.
Yeah, so we've got obviously Ayuk, first rounder. So, you know, he was seen as another very strong wide receiver coming out of college, wasn't he? Jalen Hurd coming back after missing his rookie off-season as well. So we've got quite a few people coming back, haven't we? And I think the thing, I suppose, with Jimmy G as well is that Shanahan, the way he schemes everything, you're just never going to put up big numbers, are you?
No.
Your dog agrees.
Someone disagrees.
Fucking dog. Yeah, you look at. I mean, it's a really fair point. Like, you look at the season that the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. Taylor Gabriel was amazing for the Falcons, wasn't he?
Yep.
What's he done since? He's now a free agent. Brandon Ayuk apparently fits well within the system. Trent Taylor's coming back, who's another well-regarded wide receiver in that team. So, and George Kittle's still there.
Yeah, and Joanne Jennings as well, no Jim?
Yeah, that's right.
Beast.
You have so much variety at the 49ers. If you can't throw it, you can run it through them. It's so dynamic. It's the one team in the league that I would definitely pay to go watch.
I think they are great. We overachieved last year massively on what everyone thought we were going to do, especially me. So I think it's whether we can live up to that in what is a very difficult division. You know, you move on to the Seahawks. You know, the Seahawks every year we kind of say, look, looks like that kind of, you know, run they're on is over. But it took what Dre Greenlaw to stop them on the 1 yard line in the last minute for us to get the top seed out of that division in the NFC. So, you know, they were competitive. We lost to them once. They beat us once. Very close one-score games. You know, they are still a very good, well-coached, well-drilled team. You know, with probably, I would say, the most all-round quarterback in the league and has been for 4 or 5 years. So, you know, they're a very dangerous team. You know, you keep saying every year Russell Wilson needs more weapons around him. But every year it doesn't seem to make any difference, does it? They get very, very close every year. You know, I think they probably will end up with Clowney back just very cheaply. I don't know what you guys think.
I think they need to, is what I think. There hasn't been a lot of noise about him going anywhere else. If the market doesn't develop, he'll sign back there and they'll be glad to keep him on a reduced contract, is what I think. So they should
You have to think he ends up somewhere. He's too good not to go somewhere.
He definitely will. And the restricted off-season has cost him, without doubt, like many other players. But the best fit is the Seahawks.
Yeah. He didn't get amazing sack numbers at the Seahawks, but he got a lot of pressures. And he also it made other players better as well, having him in the team.
Yeah, so I think, you know, more of the same coming from the Seahawks, Jim. I think they'll be in the mix. Cardinals, I really just don't know how good they're going to be. They could be so good. You know, Kyler Murray looked good last year, didn't he? I thought, poor man's Mahomes. But, you know, picking up Hopkins, that turns a poor man's Mahomes into a pretty rich Mahomes, I think.
Do you not think anything less than 8-8 for them is really, really bad?
It's just such a difficult division, I think.
The division is a really big leveler for them, I get it, but they don't just play in the division. They should be looking to win every week with the lineup they've got against more or less anyone.
No, but you still play six games in the division, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
To the point.
You're telling me that they should be looking to win four of those divisional games. That's
you could play well and win one divisional game.
You could.
One.
But they should be disappointed with that. The last couple of years, we've said, you know, you'd let them off because it's not been a talented squad. But there's too much there. You've got to be looking at four wins. You want four wins from those divisional games. And if you get three, that's okay.
Yeah, every team absolutely has to win all their home games.
Yeah, and they haven't done recently, have they? You know,
no.
I think their defense has improved. Isaiah Simmons is a good pickup, but I don't know if the defense has come on leaps and bounds as well as the offense. When you stack that up against the Seahawks and the Niners, can you name as many stars they've signed to that defense? I'm not sure you can.
No,
this probably puts them just behind those other two. So
I'd say on the whole, you still got Chandler Jones there, who's criminally underrated last year. I think he was definitely had one of the highest levels of sacks in the league, and he's still got Patrick Peterson there, who I think is top five cornerback in the league.
Yeah.
But I think there's still issues on defense. My biggest issue though is still that offensive line. I don't think it's improved enough when you consider kind of what the 49ers can throw at you.
Yeah. Kenyon Drake was a good pickup last year. I think that was good work.
Yeah.
So, like I say, I think the Cardinals, compared to they had, two or three years, a bit like the Niners, picking in the bottom five, and they have made leaps and bounds, but that's such a tough division. I think three teams should come out of this division, but it's still going to be difficult. I've not seen their schedule, to be fair, so I don't know who they're playing around the league to see how likely that's going to be, because it's all right saying, they've got, 10 games to play outside of the division, but, there are some big teams in the NFC, and Rams, I've just got no idea what their plan is, if I'm honest. Fair
point, actually.
I'm reading my notes and I can't really make sense of any of it. They've got a new stadium and they've spent loads of money on Jared Goff, which they had to do. They're spending loads of money on Turkey, as we talked about a minute ago.
Thank you, John. They didn't have to spend loads of money on Jared Goff. Is he that good?
No, but
they signed him a year early as well.
Yeah.
And gave him league leading money.
Yeah.
He's not a league leading quarterback, but it's just that's the quarterback market, isn't it? I think whoever signs whoever's the last one to be signed is ultimately the highest paid, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Is it Whitworth as well? Was really starting to age now as well.
Yeah.
40 this year, 41 this year.
And I think, you know, in the position he plays that, you know, he started to show last year. I think that's a problem this year. That's not even on the notes I wrote down. I've come up with that on my own. I shared my notes with Jim earlier and, you know, he didn't actually pick me up on that. But I think that's a problem. I think they've got a lot of very highly paid players and they were in win now 2 years ago and it hasn't really worked. And, you know, I think Sean McVay needs to quickly move them into another phase. And I think there's going to have to be some wheeling and dealing this year to try and get them anywhere close in that division. So I think they've got some issues.
Well, have the players been getting paid now?
Sorry.
The ones that were leaving.
Yeah.
On that subject, though, like, and after we had that conversation about comparing notes, Gary, I thought about this. They gave 2 first-round picks up for Jalen Ramsey, the second one, which is next year, and they've got to pay him. Like, how much power has he got in his court? Because he's like, you gave up 2 first-round draft picks for me. Are you really going to let me go? Like, really? Yeah. And he's going to ask for a lot of money. I think we all know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think there's a few worries in LA. I think, you know, the only thing that might save them is when they merge with the Chargers. because LA have only got the fans for one team and we introduce a Mexican team. So I think when that happens, it might help them a little bit as they merge the rosters. But yeah, so for me, that division, 3 teams could easily come out. The Cardinals should come third and they could even push the Seahawks for second. I think the Niners should win that division again because I think they have strengthened and they'll be more experienced. But it just depends on that Super Bowl hangover. So for me, it would be Niners, Seahawks, Cardinals, and then the Rams with 3 coming out to the playoffs.
I can't disagree with you, mainly because I don't know what the Rams are doing either. That is exactly what I would have said. They could either be second or last in this. I don't think they're going to win this division, but they could be an easy second.
But they've still got Aaron Donald, haven't they? You know, you look at their roster and you still pick out amazing players.
Yeah.
But the whole kind of process and the vision just seems to be slightly confused. So, like, 2 years ago, everyone was looking at Sean McVay being, you know, dancing with this bloke on the touchline and, you know, some revolutionary guy who was pulling him out of the way of, you know, referees and things because apparently he can't use his own legs and his own eyes. And everyone's going a bit crazy over it. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's paid Jared Goff about $150 million and got no money for the rest of the team. So,
yeah, it's a bad situation to find themselves in. Right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to get to? Apart from bed.
Obviously.
Just go to bed. maybe some cheese on toast, actually.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Are you Deliveroo in that? Can we all have some? Right, thank you very much everyone for listening. That was our boom or bust on the NFC, and I'm sure we'll be getting more into that and the cam chat as things go on. I'm not sure when the next one of these is scheduled for, but there'll be increasing frequency as the season gets nearer. Well, the season will get nearer. Whether or not it'll go all the way through, I don't know. But thank you
very
much.
Like, have you seen America? Like, the season is happening.
Happening. It's whether or not it gets cut short because
how we work out how to play fantasy this year, I've got no idea yet. Because, like, how do you even, like, where do you start this year? All the teams are new players can't read the playbook, can't spend any time together, reduced off season. I really think fantasy is going to be an absolute nightmare.
So I'm just going to pick Royce Freeman.
Well, I think we might just move to Dynasty so we can just, like, worry about the future.
Wow. I think we should all be auto-picking.
That's a big shout.
Yeah, just auto-pick the whole season and see what happens.
Just turn it on. We'll go off and have a few pints and come back an hour later and see what's happened.
I wouldn't be any worse off, so we'll do that. Right, thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.